Let us read now together from God's holy word, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us and return about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So for God's precious word. Let us pray together this morning. Almighty, eternal, triune, creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that almighty, faithful, eternal, true, infinite, holy Lord God of heaven and earth, and on this beautiful morning, where we may see the sunshine in thy creation, and in thy providence and goodness and mercy, we may be together with many ladies from different congregations. What a blessing. It's thy mercy. It's thy goodness. We've also read a small portion of thy word, and we hope to speak especially about our tongue. Lord, thou hast created us perfect in thy image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness, with all different members to live for thy honor, for thy glory, and with love for one another. But we have left thee. We've rebelled against thee. We have made ourselves completely corrupt, ruined, sinful, twisted, evil, vile in thy sight. But also our tongue, as we have read, it is a world of iniquity. Lord, we beg thee then that thy word may be blessed to each of our souls, to our never-dying souls. May we be convicted of our sin. May it lead us to confession of our sin. But also, Lord, wilt thou teach us of that only way that our tongue can truly again be used for the purpose thou hast created us. We need thy grace. We need thy renewing grace, a renewed heart. But also, Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would also those who have received thy grace, that they may live using their members, their tongue, as a tongue, an instrument of righteousness for thy glory and for love for each other. Lord, help in speaking, help in listening. Give us an undeserved blessing. And Lord, thou knowest each one here, from the oldest to the youngest. Thou knowest what we have brought along this morning, all our cares, sorrows, afflictions, crosses, but also those things which we cannot leave behind, that are minds that we go with every day. Help each one, Lord. Give us that grace to bring all our cares and needs at thy throne of grace. Teach us to pray and give us opening to prayer, to lay out, to pour out our hearts unto thee, and that thou would teach us and lead us and comfort us. Remember those who are mourning among us. Many widows also may be among us. Lord, remember them, and may they know that only comfort. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, thou hast a special place, a care for the widows. May they experience that, of thy care, of thy faithfulness. And so, Lord, we ask thee in this morning, look upon us in mercy. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would like to officially welcome you all. Many ladies here this morning. And as someone asked me, this is probably a new experience for you. One of the ladies here said, this is probably the first time. And it's true. I've talked to inmates, 15, 20 prisoners at a time, men. At first time, it's a little afraid. But after a while, you just sit beside them. But this morning, it's a little different. All I see is a bunch of ladies. I feel very outnumbered. But it's not about me. I hope to share a topic from the precious word of God, but it's also a blessing that you all may be together. Yeah? It's a blessing. And I would like to read one verse in connection with that from Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a blessing that we still have that today in Ontario, that from many different churches we can come together, we can sit together, we can have a meal together later, and may the Lord richly bless his word to each of you. I hope it's convicting. I say this topic to myself too. My wife knows. Yeah? I say this topic to myself also, but I say it to you. May it be convicting, may it be instructing, and may we also have comfort. Comfort in the Almighty God. So, wholeheartedly welcome on behalf of the ladies of Cortland, all of you. So now I need to do a roll call. So how many are there from Brant County? Yeah? And I did you first this morning because I have to apologize. In my inaugural sermon, I completely forgot about Brant County. I talked about St. Catharines, Norwich, Cortland, but I never mentioned you. And I already apologized to Reverend DeLeo. I think I did it twice. And he said, that's okay. We know we're in your heart also. But I officially apologized to you, yeah? So this morning you're first, yeah? How many from Norwich? Wow, we're outnumbered, yeah? Okay, welcome, yeah? How many from St. Catharines? Welcome, yeah, you have to drive a little ways. An hour, hour and a half? Well, thank you for taking that extra effort. From Markham, you have to even drive further, yeah? Wholeheartedly welcome, yeah? And from Cortland. Good. Well, welcome all. And there's one from the Netherlands. Yeah? One from the Netherlands. Two from the Netherlands. Wow. Wow. And you understand English? Okay. Well, I can't speak a Dutch, so I'm sorry, yeah? Yeah? Okay. Now hopefully you... Yeah? Okay. So the topic this morning is about the tongue. Maybe you say that's an odd theme. And I mentioned to my wife, I'm going to speak about the tongue. And she said, maybe you should hold your tongue. But I said, no, I feel I need to speak about the tongue. I need to speak about it for myself and for you. Everyone here knows what a tongue is. We all have something in common, whether you're a lady or a man. We all have a tongue. And each person is affected by their own tongue. You're affected by others, by their tongue, and you also affect others by your tongue, that little member in your mouth. If I asked you to describe what is a tongue, maybe you say, well, that's a muscle. It is. Some say that's the strongest muscle in your body. Maybe, I'm not a doctor. Others say that with your tongue, you can use it to taste. And that's very true. There's over 8,000 taste buds on your tongue. What a wonder how we are created. And those taste buds give messages to your brain and tell you whether you like this food, whether it's sweet or salty. But it also gives us the ability to talk. We can talk to each other. So what a wonder. So why the topic of the tongue? Well, we were created. God created you and me with a precious tongue. Could you imagine if we didn't have tongues? You could say, well, maybe that would be a blessing because there wouldn't be all this sin with our tongues. But what about all the good? You could never say to your child, if you have a child, I love you. You could never say that to your husband, if you have a husband. You could never say that to others. You couldn't hear them speaking to you. So what a precious gift that God created you and me with a tongue. And because we have a tongue, we can share our thoughts with each other. We can comfort each other. Because we have a tongue, we can pray and sing. And because we have a tongue, on the Lord's Day, you can hear the preaching of the Word of God. A sinful instrument is used with a sinful tongue to proclaim the precious gospel. When my family and I had to go to mission training in Colorado, then we also had to learn a new language. You had to use your tongue. And your tongue, my tongue had been used in English for, I think it was about 46 years. I don't know the exact date. I'm sure my wife does. But 46 years English. And you had to start to speak a different language. And you know what they gave us? They gave us a little mirror. So you had to put a little mirror in front of you, and they trained you to say different pronunciations in Spanish. And they wanted you to look at your tongue. That's not very pleasant. But it was good, because you had to see how you used your tongue to make different sounds. But the Bible is also a mirror. It's a mirror for you and me about our tongue. It gives us many reflections of how your tongue is and my tongue is. I'll read you a few verses. A tongue is a sharp razor. You could do damage with a razor. You can kill yourself with a razor. Listen, Psalm 52, verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. The word of God speaks about your and my tongue as a sword. Psalm 64, verse 3, who wet their tongue like a sword. Our tongue is also called an arrow. Jeremiah 9, verse 8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. Negatives, a sword, a sharp razor, arrows. It's all pain. You see blood, you see damage, hurt, sin. But by God's grace, our tongue can also be used in a positive way, in a good way by God's grace. The word of God also speaks of the tongue as choice silver. Proverbs 10, verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Or we read also in Proverbs 15, verse 4, a tree of life, a beautiful tree of life. A wholesome tongue is as a tree of life. And there's many more reflections about your and my tongue in the Bible. But how is your tongue reflected? How is my tongue? What do you see in the mirror of the Word of God about your tongue? It's not about taste. The Bible doesn't speak about taste. It speaks about how you use your tongue and how I use my tongue and how it impacts other people that you live with, in your family, in your church, in your community. That little member in my mouth here and in your mouth is powerful. It's powerful. You think an arm is powerful, but the tongue is much more powerful. James, in the chapter 8, speaks about that. He speaks about, he compares it as a bit in the mouth of a horse. And you see a great big, well, I think it's called a draft horse, a big horse that pulls a plow, a great big, mighty, strong, powerful horse. And that man, he can just steer that horse with a bit in the mouth of the horse. He can just steer it how he wants, that powerful horse. James says in verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." But he also compares it to a ship's rudder. And maybe you can see in the different bodies of water here, you see those great big ships, massive ships, thousands and thousands of tons. And that captain of the ship can stir that great big ship with a tiny little rudder. We read in James 3, verse 4, "Behold, also the ships, which although they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So our tongue is powerful. He compares it to a bit in the mouth of a horse and as a little rudder on a ship. It's small but powerful. It can be used for great good, and it can be used for great evil. Yes, that's your tongue. That's my tongue. The tongue has power to do good, and it can be used to teach, to share information, to teach your children, to teach each other. Yeah? Our tongue can be used for much good, to share knowledge, to speak love. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life," we read in Proverbs 10, verse 11. I think of the tongue of the Apostle Peter. That sinful man with a sinful tongue was used on Pentecost. Yes, by the power of the Holy Spirit, thousands were saved, renewed, saved. So God can use a sinful tongue of a sinful man or woman as instruments to be a blessing for others. It's small, but it has a big impact. Your tongue has a big impact. And where you live, and how you live. It was created to do good. To do good. Only to do good. To completely, every day, every moment, only to do good. But after the fall, your and my tongue is completely corrupt, twisted, twisted. It's sinful. It's evil. It's wicked. And what do we read in James? That it's a world of iniquity. What pain you can cause with your tongue. And I remember in grade 7, a young man said something to me about my physical appearance. I wished he would have just punched me in the head, because that would have felt better. It has affected me for the rest of my life. He said something to me, and I don't think he even knew. Maybe, I don't know. But it did damage in my life for the rest of my life. I've forgiven him. But it hurts. It hurts what you say about other people. It's painful. Just a little sentence can do so much damage for the rest of someone's life. How do you use your tongue? It can destroy friendships. One little gossip, one little word, a half-truth, or even sharing something of the truth that doesn't need to be shared at all. It can destroy friendships. It can destroy families. It can even destroy churches. What power in the tongue. What hurt we can cause each other with our tongue. It can give incredible damage, lasting damage. And James gives another little picture. He uses a picture of a fire. We read in James 3, verse 5 and 6, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell." Just a little spark can cause a whole forest fire. We all know that. But one little word, one little sinful word, can cause so much damage, my friends. Much damage. And that same tongue, James says, In 3 verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We can come to church on Sunday, and we can sing, or we can read the Bible as a family aloud, and then maybe a minute later, not even less, we're using that same instrument that we sang praises to God, or that we prayed with. We use it for sin. So wicked, so sinful is the tongue. For example, I'll mention some of them. Gossip. And I want to say right now, the men could hear this topic too, okay? I'm not just here to speak to ladies, but I'm called to come here to speak to you. But the men could have this topic too, yeah? So don't feel that I'm speaking just to ladies. Yeah, you guys gossip, but us men don't. No, no. Yeah? Gossip. Lying. Slander. Critical speech. Sharing information that does not need to be shared at all. Harsh or cruel words. Insults, criticism, sarcasm, ridicule, judgmental, selfishness, unthankful, pride, impatience, irritableness, anger, lack of self-control. And we could maybe make the list a little longer. The book of Proverbs has over 60 warnings which involve your and my little tiny tongue. But think of the positives. There's positive also. Maybe you see someone in trouble, lonely, someone sad. What a beauty to be able to go to that person and just say a couple kind words. A kind word on the soul, on that heart that's broken, that's painful. What a blessing, is it not? Kindness. Loving words. And I remember my mom said to us so many times, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I remember that phrase so many times. Yeah, but I didn't listen. That mouth, that wicked tongue. And I pray that this morning, you and I may be convicted of our sin, of how we use our tongue. God made you and me in his image, not only with hands to work, not only with feet to move, not only with all kinds of other emotions, but he also made you and me with a tongue. With a tongue to speak to him, to have communion with him, to pray to him, to read his word, but also to speak to each other, to care for each other, to love each other. And God hates sin. It's an absolute abomination to him. In Proverbs, he says, there's 7 things. And listen, I'll read those verses. How many of them include your tongue and my tongue? Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So 3 of those things are connected with our tongue. How sinful our tongue is. And the Lord is looking. He sees you and me. He created us in his image, and he sees that little tongue that he made to be used for glorifying him and praising and loving your neighbor. He hears every word, and he hears every phrase. He knows every word that comes out of your and my mouth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Romans 3, verse 12 through 14. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And now listen, their throat is an open sepulcher. That's not a pretty picture. An open sepulcher. What stink comes out of your and my throat, out of our mouth? An open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. That's deadly. That's deadly. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. How are you feeling right now, ladies? How am I feeling right now? I hope you feel it. We're sinful. We're sinful how we use our tongues. Have you ever confessed before God? Lord, I'm unclean. I'm a man. I'm a woman of unclean lips. I'm sinful. We need a renewed heart. We don't just need to polish ourselves up. Yes, we are commanded. With all our words, we are responsible to use them in love, but we need much more. Because where does those words come from, my tongue? Where does it flow from? It comes from the heart. The heart. You and I need a renewed heart that our tongue may begin to be used for the purpose that we are created for. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And he said further in Matthew 15, verse 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man or a woman. No, but what? But that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. And we read in verse 18 and 19 of the same chapter, but those things which proceed of the mouth cometh forth from the heart. So think about your words for the last week. I'll think about mine. Think about them for a moment. They come from your heart, ladies. There's a mirror in front of us, God's word. And it shows you and me who we are. It shows us by those words, how our tongue is used as an arrow, as a sharp razor, as a sword. It shows a picture of what our heart is. We need our hearts renewed. We need a radical renewal. Have you hurt someone with your tongue? I think we all have. I'll be honest, I did last night to my wife. I got a little upset and I said something to her. She's sitting there. I apologize and ask for forgiveness. Yeah, so it's okay with us. Yeah? But I'll be very honest. You think maybe, yeah, that minister, he would never use his tongue wrong. No. Yeah, he's been married for 28 years. He wouldn't know. My heart is still sinful. And I had to apologize to her. Yeah? But have you, can you think of something, of someone? You said something. You hurt someone. I ask you to go and ask for forgiveness. It's good. It's good for that person and good for you, but more. May you come on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins of your tongue. We can hurt each other very much, especially those we deeply love. Why is that? Why is that? It shows of what our heart is. That maybe you're very polite. I think you all are, yeah? We're all pretty polite, right? Reformed people, we're polite, yeah? And we can smile. And we try our best not to be seen as sinners. And we control our tongue as best we can. But do you use your tongue with a motive to glorify God? Do you? The Lord knows right into your and my hearts. Our hearts. So we're all guilty. All of us here today. Guilty. Can you tame your tongue? Can you? Can I tame my tongue? I found out again, I can't tame my tongue. My tongue is a world of iniquity. I'm a sinful man. I need a renewal, which I may believe by God's grace. But I need sanctification. Daily sanctification. Renewed to the image of Christ. Do you have a desire in your life, not only that you be convicted of your sin, but do you have a desire in your life to use your tongue sinlessly? Sinlessly. Why? Because you love the Lord. The Lord poured love in your heart. And you want to use also your tongue that God has created you to serve Him. In all your words, in everything that you say, but do you feel it's so impossible? I can't tame my tongue. James knows this battle. And he says, men can tame the most wildest beasts. For example, he gave some example, but we also know that lions can be tamed, tigers can be tamed, but he says no man can tame his tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Is that a battle for you? How you use your tongue? But you can't tame your tongue. James says no man can tame his tongue. But he did not say no one. God can. That Almighty God of heaven and earth, and through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has power to renew hearts, and that tongues would begin to be used for their purpose. But he also has the power to tame tongues. No one, no man, no woman can tame their tongue. But the Almighty Savior can. He has the power. So there's hope, ladies. Maybe you feel conviction of your sin. I hope so. It's painful, but it's good for us to really know the truth. But I also hope you hear this morning, there's hope. Not in you, not in me, but in the Almighty God. He has the power to tame tongues, wicked tongues, evil tongues, foolish tongues. But maybe you sit here this morning. I don't know you all. I have no one in mind. But maybe you say, you know what? I don't care. I hope not. Maybe you don't try to control your tongue at all. Maybe you don't have any bridle, nothing. You just secretly get on the phone or on your phone and you share messages, words, and you talk and you gossip and you slander, you criticize, and a whole list more. I have to warn you with much love from my heart. If that's you, listen to what James says about the tongue. James 1 verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, we can seem to be very religious, but bridleth not his tongue. That means he doesn't have any desire for the glory of God to control his tongue. He just lets it go. Yeah, he won't do it publicly too much because then people will know, but secretly. And now listen, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. There's a whole book written on this verse. And you read that book, you don't want to speak anymore. You want to hold your tongue. But that's not the purpose. It's to convict, but also that you would really pray to use your tongue for its original purpose. Do you have a new heart? Do you have a desire to use your tongue? Do you feel this morning, no, I must confess. I don't have any grace because my tongue is just a world of, I just use it however I want. Ask the Lord to renew your heart, that the little member here would begin a little beginning in this life to be used for its original purpose, to glorify God and to show love for your neighbor. But also among us, I may believe, there's also children of God, lambs, sheep of the good shepherd. My dear ladies, friends, use your tongue, lambs of the good shepherd, sheep of the good shepherd. Use your tongue as an instrument of righteousness. Make a commitment in your heart that I don't want to ever sin again with my tongue. I don't ever want to grieve the Lord with my tongue. I don't ever want to hurt anyone with my tongue. But also go, absolutely dependent and needing and praying for God and His grace and His Spirit. Pray as the poet did. Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Or as we read in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But there's also comfort. There's comfort for sinful ladies, sinful men. What's the comfort? There's one who walked on this earth, who was very man, who had a tongue, who had a body, who had that little instrument in his mouth, And he used it every day. Every night, his whole life, he used his tongue for the purpose God created you and me for. He used it pure, infinitely pure. He never used his tongue for sin. Never. He has that righteousness to cover sinners, transgressors, those who have a sinful tongue, a tongue that cannot be tamed. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Isaiah 53, verse 9, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And read in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's hope. And I hope this is a comfort for you, poor sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ has that righteousness to cover those who have no righteousness. No righteousness in how they use their tongue. And he has precious blood to cleanse from all sin, you read in 1 John 1 verse 7. That little word, all, that's a comfort. Doesn't say some. All, that includes also the sins of your and my tongue. Why did I do this topic this morning? It's important, my dear friends. We live in communities. We live in families. We live in churches. We are called to love each other, not to destroy each other, not to speak about each other in a evil way. We are called to love each other, to care for each other, to use our tongues, to sing, to glorify God, but also to help, to comfort, to love each other. You need it. I need it. We all need it. We need grace. And what a precious task, as there's many ladies here who have children, mothers here. There's grandmothers here, I believe, maybe even great-grandmothers. But also if you're single, you live among people, or maybe you're a teacher, different occupations, you live among people. What a great blessing, ladies, that you may speak to your children about the wonderful works of God. Use your tongue with love, but also use your tongue to speak to your children, that you may become mothers in Israel. What a wonder. What a blessing for our churches. What a blessing for our families. May the Lord work mightily, convicting us of sin, but also by his grace renewing us and sanctifying us, that we may live in love with our tongue. And we read in the Bible that every idle word, every, not some, but every idle word, a word that we don't think is even important, it's recorded. The Lord knows all your words and my words, and one day we're going to have to give an account of them. Think about that. But I'm going to end with a few verses of exhortation. Colossians 4 verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Philippians 1 verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. In James 1 verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And one more. Listen, please. Ephesians 4 verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My friends, you have a tongue. How do you use your tongue? And you will be using your tongue eternally. You and I, we will be using our tongues forever and ever. How will you be using your tongue in eternity? How you use your tongue now determines how you will use your tongue eternally. If you have no care for how you use your tongue and live just in sin with your tongue, and you don't repent, and you don't seek forgiveness, there's a place where you will be forever using your tongue, cursing God. And I pray that's not you. I beg you, confess your sin. Beg God for grace. Seek forgiveness in that almighty, powerful, cleansing blood of the Lamb. But you, children of God, you who desire with your heart to not sin anymore with your tongue, there's coming a day where you'll be delivered forever from your sinful tongue, and you will forever, with perfection, around the throne, no more sin, but with purity forever and ever, be able to praise and glorify the almighty triune God with a pure tongue. What a blessed future. My friend, where will you and I be? Thank you. May the Lord bless his word. Let us sing now from Psalter 69. Psalter 69, all stanzas. One through seven. Psalter 69. Well, now I'd like to invite Mrs. Klopp from Cortland to come and read a poem to us.
Excuse me, one more minute. I've just been instructed, if you have questions, please put them, where do they need to put them? In the collection bag, yeah? So put your questions in the collection bag. I think there's a couple up there. Thank you.
Bartimaeus by John Newton. The author of this hymn, John Newton, was born in London, England, in 1725. His father was stern and severe. In his autobiography, Newton said of him, "I'm persuaded he loved me, though he seemed not willing that I should know it." He had a God-fearing mother who dedicated John to God in his infancy. On her lap, he learned many portions of Scripture, and as a young child, he had even memorized the answers of the Shorter Catechism with the proofs. His mother intended to bring him up in a ministry, should the Lord so incline his heart. But before he was 7 years old, the Lord took her to himself. His father remarried, and at age 11, he took John along to sea. That was basically the end of his religious upbringing. Old impressions would sometimes revive, but before long, he learned to curse and blaspheme and was exceedingly wicked. Eventually, he engaged in a brutal African slave trade and lived his life dishonoring to God. But God, in his great mercy, during a terrible storm on the Atlantic Ocean, when it looked like everyone in the ship would perish, the Lord convicted John of his sins. And he came to realize his deep need of God. He cried out to God, and the Lord heard. It still took some years before the full light went up in his soul, and John Newton, by God's grace, was brought to the feet of Jesus as a poor, helpless sinner. In his heart, the Lord laid a great desire to preach to sinners of that amazing grace that saved a wretch like him. He once was lost, but now was found, was blind, but now could see. His mother's prayers for her son were answered, and in 1764, at the age of 39, John Newton began 43 years of preaching the gospel of Christ. Then 2 years before he died, his eyesight failed him, and being unable to read, he was pressed by his friends to retire. His reply was, "What? Shall the old African blasphemer stop when he can speak?" As an 82-year-old man, John Newton was quoted as saying, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior." It was not long after that that the Lord brought him home, and John Newton may begin to sing God's praises perfectly in the presence of his Savior. In this hymn called Bartimaeus, we can also hear the great desire of John Newton to point people to Christ, who in his amazing grace still makes the blind to see. Mercy, O thou son of David, thus blind Bartimaeus prayed. Others by thy word are saved. Now to me afford thine aid. Many for his crying chid him, but he called the louder still, till the gracious Savior bid him, come and ask me what you will. Money was not what he wanted, though by begging used to live. But he asked, and Jesus granted alms, which none but he could give. Lord, remove this grievous blindness. Let my eyes behold the day. Straight he saw, and won by kindness, followed Jesus in the way. Oh, methinks I hear him praising, publishing to all around. Friends, is not my case amazing? What a Savior I have found. Oh, that all the blind but knew him and would be advised by me. Surely would they hasten to him. He would cause them all to see.
Thank you, Mrs. Klopp. It's a beautiful history of John Newton. So time to answer questions. Is there any other ones? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe you can just chat with your neighbors and use your tongue in the right way for a little while I look over these questions, yeah? Okay. Thank you. May I have your attention, please? You're using your tongue very well. Pardon me?
We should just sing another song to her.
We're going to. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. If I could have your attention. So yeah, you had to hold your tongue for about 45 minutes to listen to me, and then it got loose, right? Well, that's very nice. Yeah, very nice. I had a request that we would sing Amazing Grace. And I think that's very much connected with the theme, but also with the poem that was read. So let's sing Amazing Grace. We'll just sing the first stanzas, yeah? And I'll turn my mic off so you don't hear me singing, yeah? We can sing that, but may it be true for us, eh? That's my prayer for you. So I got quite a few questions. Three of them are exactly the same, so that's easy. What is the title of the book about the tongue? I don't know, and I asked my dear wife, and she doesn't remember either, but what I will do is I will find that book. It's in my study somewhere in the mix of books. But when I get the title, then I will share it with the ladies' aid, and you can ask them, and they will share it with you. Is that fine? Yeah? I think it's a very small book. I think it's called The Tongue. Yeah. So you can Google it too. Hey? Yeah? The Tongue. Okay. When we meet someone on the street, is there a specific comment or question we can use to evangelize? I struggle to tell our fellow men or neighbor about the Lord. Well, every single person is absolutely different. There's not a certain phrase that you meet someone and say, brr. No. Every single one is different. It depends on the circumstance. And it's so important before you go out. For example, in Turia, every time before I left my house, you don't know who you're going to meet, what their need is. You don't have a clue. Prayer. And ask the Lord that whoever he puts on your path that day, that he may give you the words to speak and that you may beg for the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But with that said, J.C. Philpott said there's two words you need to speak of, sin and salvation. Yeah? And in Chilliwack, they would have what they call Love Chilliwack. And they would do a city of evangelism that day. Not our church, so don't get that. Don't say the NRC in Chilliwack does. It's not us. So just get that straight right now. Yeah? But the community, they would have a car wash. And you could go get your car wash for free. And they would give you a free Coke and a free hot dog. And they would say,
Jesus loves you. Thank you. Have a nice day. That's all they did. And they call that evangelism in Chilliwack, a day of evangelism. I'm sorry. I never, ever did that in Taria. That's not, oh, thank you. I can just live in my sin. Jesus loves me. I'm sorry. That's not evangelism. That's not love. That's not using your tongue correctly. I'm sorry. Yeah? Sin and salvation. And it depends on the person. But pray and ask the Lord to guide you. Yeah? In a community that values unity above all else, is there a place for rebuke? Absolutely. And we're called to. With love. But go visit the person. Matthew 18. Absolutely. I've been rebuked numerous times. And probably some more. Yeah? There is a place. It doesn't mean that we only speak good things. We're honest with each other. Love is caring for each other. If you see someone that you know is in sin, go speak to them. Go with love. Not to belittle them. Not to hit them over the head. But to care for them. That they may be brought to repentance. Yeah? That's why we have discipline in the church. It's a medicine to be brought to repentance. It's love. Yeah? There is opening for rebuke. Absolutely. In love. Absolutely. It's even biblical. Yeah? Very important. I have a neighbor who is not friendly to us. You're not my neighbor, are you? I don't think we have neighbors from the church here. We have neighbors, yeah? How do we deal with our tongue in a good way and stay friendly to them? Yeah. You know what is free? What is free? Doesn't cost you anything and has a great impact? A smile. A smile. A smile can do wonders to your neighbor. Even that miserable man or that miserable woman that just wants to pester you and poke you and irritate you and criticize you. Just a smile. Good morning. How are you? Maybe bake a pie. Yeah? The way to a man's heart is through food. Yeah? Your neighbor too. Show acts of love. Yeah? And if he needs to be talked to straight, sternly, do that also in love. Yeah? Yeah? Don't be afraid. Share the word of God, even the truth. Sometimes we're afraid to speak the truth, but do it in love. Yeah? Do it in love. And the Lord can use it powerfully. Yeah? You talked about inmates. What would be an opening sentence to a convicted prisoner? Well, yeah. I was in prison ministry for 6 years. And I don't have a certain sentence to use to them. It's just like evangelism. Yeah? They're all different. I'll share you a little story. I don't want to talk about myself, but I'll share a little story. Because stories, sometimes people like stories. The very first time I went to prison ministry, I sat down. You go through these. It was a maximum prison in Chilliwack, Kent. Maximum. They were convicted murderers, and they were the worst of the worst in Kent prison. So you go through these big iron gates, and they slam behind you, and you go through some more, and you finally get to the chapel, a little room, and you sit and wait, and men come in. They have time that they can move around, and they come and sit in this little room, and you do a Bible study with them. And I remember the first time I was there, the man was there. His name was Philip. Philip Clement, his name. I learned his full name later. He sat beside me. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Ed. Nice to meet you, Philip. Nice to meet you, Ed." And he said to me, "So, Ed, when were you saved?" He asked me the first question before I asked him a question. And I said, "Philip, I don't think I'm saved. I feel more lost than saved." He looked at me. "Really? Can you share more?" And so I shared him. About 6 years later, he said to me, he said, "Ed, remember the first time we had a conversation? You said to me, when I asked you, when were you saved? And you said, you were so honest, I'm lost." I said, "I still remember that. I so appreciate it because I thought you would say, on such and such a day in my life, I accepted Christ into my heart." He said, "It struck me. It struck me, but I felt it was the truth." And I said, "Well, I'm only here to share the truth." Yeah? I've met many inmates. But you know what? After a time, it's just like you come in Cortland for a Bible study. You're sitting with with people from the church. You don't look at them as like, no. In fact, some of them became my brothers, my friends. Phil, he died suddenly of a heart attack. I've grieved. My sister died. So I knew what grief was, but I grieved when this man died. I missed him. He was 18 years old and he got into a fight. In his anger, he killed the other person. He didn't plan to do that, but he killed him. He's in prison. And he said, I believe I belong to be here. He could have went through different ways and taken courses and he could have gone free. And even the guards spoke to us and said, encourage Phil to take those courses. He can be free in certain time. But he flatly refused. He says, I don't even deserve to be alive. I'm not taking any courses to go free. I'm staying here because I can still share the Bible with other inmates in Kent Prison. And you know what bothered him the most? One of his greatest burdens? Where was the man he killed? Did he end his life and that man is forever lost? Think about that. What a burden. And one time he did a Bible study to us. See, they teach you. We go there to try to think we're going to teach them, but they teach us many times. Yeah? He did a Bible study on the forgiveness of sins. I don't think I've ever heard such a profound Bible study on the forgiveness of sins from him, an inmate, speaking about the forgiveness of sins. So that's a little story about prison ministry, yeah? Okay. Maybe I didn't answer your question, yeah? Okay. Maybe a question that can be addressed in a sermon. I have encountered people from the elderly in our church who actually think that autistic children have the devil in them. How should we respond? Yeah. I've heard this more often. And I believe in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan worked extra, extra hard, especially in that time, in the time of Jesus Christ. Yeah? And in that time, we read of those who were possessed with the devil. I would never, ever dare say that someone who has mental sickness or autism or anything else, I would say they're possessed with the devil. I would have no freedom. I have no biblical foundation to say that. Yeah? That would be my first response. Yeah? Yes, by our fall, we all came under the bondage of Satan. We brought ourselves. And that's who we are by nature. But be careful with those sort of thoughts. Yeah? And I think I have one more question here. If there are no questions, well, we did have some questions, but how much time do we have? Ladies? 20 minutes. Whew! Okay. If there are no questions, can you tell us about, in Bolivia, about the little girl that you said one time in a sermon that said, so? Yeah? Well, we have 20 minutes, so I can share that story. Yeah. So, in Bolivia, in Tarija, there is a young lady who is a member in our church, Gisela. She worked as an aunt in an orphanage. So an aunt was a young lady, that was in a house with other girls. She was called, oh, there's a hole here. She was called an aunt. She took care of about 5 or 6 girls in the house. And so she would take some of these young girls to church at times. And one of those young girls, her name was Jasmine. That was her name. I think she was about 10, 12. And so she came to church one time with Gisela, and after church, she came to the pulpit, and she talked to me a little bit. Yeah? She talked to me a little bit. And she said, What do you do? I said, I do it same as I do this morning. I preach the word of God. And so what is your message? I said, a little bit like we heard this morning. It's about sin and salvation. So then I asked her a question. I said, Jasmine, are you a sinner? And she was so absolutely honest. You could see it right in her eyes. She didn't miss a beat. Mesomenos. No, that doesn't mean nothing to you. So-so. Not too bad, but not really good. So-so. Those who understand Spanish understand this phrase. Mesomenos. So-so. And I looked at her, and I thought, that's exactly the problem. That's exactly the problem with so many of us. We're not really bad, right? I'm not really that bad. But yeah, I can't say I'm really good. I'm so-so. Mesomenos. You know what we need? To see we're absolutely horrible. We're not so-so. We're sinful. Completely sinful. That's what we need to learn. Not so-so. Rotten to the core. Sinful, vile, wicked. Yeah? So Jasmine, she was honest. It was so neat to see her little face. So-so, mesomenos. Not so bad, but not so good. I thought, what a picture of so many of us. Yeah? So that's Jasmine. That's the little story. Yeah? But we're going to sing now from Psalter 188. And there's also going to be a collection that's to take for the cost of the conference. We will sing Psalter 188. All four stanzas. Psalter 188, 1 through 4.
I just have a few words to say on behalf of Abigail's Heart and Hands. We thank everyone for coming, and also Reverend Molyers for his topic. Hopefully we can take some words of wisdom home with us. Also for lunch, we need about 10 minutes to set up, so if you want to maybe walk around the church or get a breath of fresh air and then come down, we'll serve soup. We have four different kinds of soup at the island. And then, yeah, that's about it, I think. Oh, also when you're going to, on your way out, bring your Psalter and Bible to the end of the tables, and then we'll gather them from there. Thank you.
Well, let's close in prayer and ask for a blessing on the meal. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art looking upon us at this very moment, thou who hast heard all things, thou who also hast heard every single word that has come from each of our mouths, that has been used with our tongue. It's all recorded. All our sins, all our iniquities, and all our transgressions, also with the tongue, our tongue, that thou hast created us to worship thee, to praise thee, to glorify thee, and to love our neighbor. O Lord, we beg thee, convict, convince, but also teach us of that way of forgiveness. But may we beg thee also, Lord, that thou would also give that cleansing of the hearts, not only the renewal, which we all need, but also that cleansing, that we may use all our members, also our tongue, for thy glory, for thy honor, and for love to our neighbors. Lord, we ask also for a blessing on the food and drink that has been prepared. May it give us strength to our bodies. And so, Lord, we ask, forgive us of all our sin and look upon us through thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, may we see it, that he is that pure one, that perfect Lamb of God, that he has the righteousness for unrighteous ones, that he has that grace to help, that also that blood to cleanse. Lord, bless thy word, we ask. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Well, enjoy your meal. Eat smaklik. Yeah? Or in Spanish, we say buen provecho. Yeah? Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless his word.